So today we are going to wrap up the last webinar in this series where we together have gone through starting with the itineraries and my trip notes from some trips and meetings that I took in the Czech Republic. And now today we are finishing as many pitches as we can, and we will pull the editor's email out of the database and we will hit send on my very, very messy inbox that you'll hopefully get to see not too much of during this webinar. So what we're going to do today, like I said, is that I really want to, the last couple of webinars, or actually most of the webinars in this series, we've spent a bit of our 1 hour time block talking about some sort of fundamentals, why we're doing things a certain way, how to approach things like that. But in today's webinar, I want to really want to make sure that we have as much time as possible to work on the pitching aspect and that people have the ability to ask questions or say if they like something or don't like something or if it looks weird or stupid or something like that. So let's go ahead and get into it. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap of what are the bones of the pitch, just for anybody who didn't catch the beginning of this series or for people who are new to writing pitches. And then we're going to hit those notes files that we've been using. I have not looked at them since we did the last webinar in this series. I have no idea. Lindsay, who's on the webinar, could tell you. I was talking to her until right before this webinar started. I have not looked over them, prepared, planned in any way. So it'll be just exactly like if you were doing this at home. You were working on some pitches and then you left on a trip and you came back and now you're trying to figure out what's going on, where are these pitches, what do you need to do to finish them, where are your notes, what do they even need, are they really even fits anymore, who knows. So it's going to be a very realistic scenario in that way. So for those of you who are joining this webinar in the replay, this webinar is brought to you by Dream of Travel Writing, which is a company completely based around when I was a freelance travel writer, some people asking me how I had set up my business and how I was able to have recurring income and grow my business in the way that I did, and particularly be able to kind of have control over my trips in a lot of ways. I've been chatting with a couple of people recently about press trips and non-press trips and how you make sure that you get to see the things that you want to see and how you make sure you can get stories about the things that you see. And one of the things that I found as a freelance travel writer is that a way to make sure that you not just travel how you want, but also write the stories that you want is really to be able to control your own destiny. And part of that circles back to controlling your own money, really. And you know, it's always a big elephant in the room at any conference. I was just chatting with somebody about how at writing conferences, whenever there's an editor's panel, some brave soul always says, "So what do you guys pay, or what are the terms?" And then the editors all sort of, you know, look at each other worriedly, and somebody, you know, starts answering the question, and eventually they all have to answer and own up to the fact that they don't treat their writers very well in a public setting, which is always hilarious. And even, you know, if there are writers up on stage, they don't want to talk about what they've been paid because they don't want you to go to the outlets that they work for and say, "Well, I want to be paid $5 a word because I heard that's what you paid Suzanne." So it's just a big elephant in the room. As we get into what we're talking about today, I just wanted to circle back. I know I do this at the beginning of every webinar in this series, but I think with this series on how you turn your raw notes or your raw experiences from the field into actual article pitches, it's more important than ever in this series to really hearken back to why we are talking about this, which is that if you want to be a person who's just doing editorial writing, even if you have some bit that's content marketing writing or, you know, trade magazines where they give you the assignments, if you want to have a portion of your livelihood and your sanity and your time and your schedule and your commitments wrapped up in editorial writing, pitching is a part of that. Even if they're to editors that you already know, you have to send them actually even more pitches than editors you don't know because you send them five and they just take one, okay? So pitching is a reality of the situation for any type of editorial writing that you're going to be doing. And you need to be able to do it quickly and confidently and with the smallest amount of doubting every word that you put into it possible. I had a really interesting chat earlier today with somebody who was telling me she had finally hit that 15-minute a pitch mark for herself, that she can write pitches that fast. And she was saying that she sent a pitch somewhere and she followed up, and the editor got back to her on the follow-up and wanted to talk to her about the piece. And when she went to look at the pitch again to sort of prepare herself to discuss this with the editor, she realized looking at the pitch that maybe the pitch wasn't actually such a good pitch for that outlet. And so we were talking about why the editor got back to her and what to do in those situations. But the thing is that the people that I know, there's a particular gentleman that I'm thinking of, the people that I know who are just out there peppering the world with their pitches, completely regardless of whether it's a fit for the magazine or a specific section or something like that, they are doing it. They are sending 100 times as many pitches as you are. And some times, and they're also following up probably 4 times as much as you are. And editors will get used to seeing those names and open those emails. So if you want to be out there competing with that and also standing out from the people who only pitch every so often but really don't know what they're doing, you want to distance yourself from those people. You need to be more in that echelon of the people who appear in their inbox regularly, but you've got to be better than the people who are peppering inboxes with the same pitch that's not focused for the magazine. And the way that you do that is by what we're doing in this series, by learning to pitch really focused to what most probably from what you can know as an outsider fits a magazine. Write that pitch quickly, get it out the door, and stop thinking about it. So part and parcel of that is because you write these pitches, not necessarily because you're expecting to write that particular piece for that particular magazine, but pitches and pitches landing in editors' inboxes and pitches that editors are responding to, they're part of a larger conversation that starts a relationship, which results in what we all want, which is recurring work. So, what do those pitches look like? Okay. I always say that the pitch is 3 paragraphs and 2 bookends, okay? And the bookend on like in a pitch is often your headline, and we talked about that a little bit last time. I think we wrote some of those. And the bookend at the end is, may I write blah piece for blah section of blah magazine. Fill in the blanks of the blahs with the appropriate things here. But the main portion of your pitch is these 3 paragraphs. The lead, which is about getting attention, and making sure that the attention that you've grabbed leads in a seamless, thoughtful way into the particular idea that you want to pitch. The outline of what the piece that you're actually going to write looks like, okay? And then the I'm so great paragraph, which is a phrase from Kelly James Inger, who's another longtime freelance writer and somebody who writes about freelance writing. She calls it the I'm so great paragraph, but I also call it the about me paragraph, which is where you say who you are, but completely in the vein of why you are qualified to write the particular piece that you're pitching. Now, with this pitch formula, we spent a lot of time last week focusing on the second and third paragraphs, or not last week, but last webinar, because those are the easier ones to write. And on some of the pitches that we did, I wrote the lead for that pitch as well, the first paragraph, and on some of them I didn't. So I just want to take a second to remind ourselves what kind of things you can put in the lead. Now, I was looking at some pitches today with somebody, and they were really to the point leads, where the lead was almost just saying, what the point of the pitch is, what's interesting about that place. And in a really short pitch, you can absolutely do that. But if you want to have a pitch that kind of shows off your writing style and accomplishes that delicate balance of showing your writing style, getting the person's attention, and leading directly into the article idea that you're trying to pitch, these are some ways to do it. You can start in the middle of a story if the story has an arc. You can start with a too good to be true statistic. You can highlight that something you're pitching is really the only thing of its kind, or you can do something more descriptive where you're using one image or experience that stood out to you really clearly. Now, the middle paragraphs we've already written on a bunch of the pitches that we worked on. If we have time to write some new pitches today, then we'll do this again. But in the middle paragraph, we really focus on the section of the magazine the pitch needs to go into, or the resulting article would go into. Why we're pitching this. So both why we're pitching it to this magazine and why we're pitching it now in terms of a time peg if we have one, what we're going to cover, and also what research you will do or have already done. In the about you paragraph, I really usually set it up kind of as 2 sentences, and one is usually more about your writing background, and one is more about your specific experience as relevant to that piece. And that can be prior research or other background experience or exclusive access that you have, for instance, to a source or to a location. So at the end of the last webinar, we kind of took some notes on what's next, what we needed to do when we next came back together. And we looked at, we're going to need some leads. And to do that, we might need to head back to my notes from this trip to pull out some descriptive elements. But as we saw in the last webinar, a lot of the things, because you don't need a crazy amount of information for the pitch, to be honest. So a lot of the things for this pitch, we might be pulling from the internet. We already did that in a couple cases. And, you know, for some of these, if I'm stuck on a certain lead, like if there's a couple ones in my notes that make sense, or like we research maybe Honest, Prog, these guys that we're talking about doing a profile about, if we research them and then there's a couple different things, I'll throw those out to you guys and you let us know what we're going to do. And we'll run through our idea checklist one more time. And also, it's not on here, but we'll grab the email addresses for the editors and we'll get these pitches out in my inbox. So let's get pitching. Let's have a look at our ideas. So last week we talked about this basic pitch formula that we use, okay? So the pitches that we looked at as our priority pitches last time were Blue Wings Up Close on Beer, Spas, and Prague. So we've got that one here. We looked at a feature on modernizing spas in the Czech Republic. We looked at For Brussels Be Inspired, Off the Beaten Path, which is kind of like a road trip oriented element. And we looked at a couple different options for profiles on these folks from Honest Prague, which there are two gentlemen and they have kind of like a blog, vlog. I think there's quite a bit of a video element, social community, that they're locals and they speak kind of about, I guess you want to say tourism. Like they're definitely towards tourists, but they did the keynote at the conference that I was at. And for this one, I said funny lead from talk notes. So I'll have to look back at my talk notes. And then that was as far as we got. So we had three other potential ones here that we can come back to. And actually, I went to an interesting couple talks at a recent trade show I was at this one. So this might be one for us to look at. But let's see if we can turn out these four pitches in the time that we've got left, all right? So I'm just going to pull up on the side trying to make sure that I can see everything at the same time, including the chat box. Okay, so I'm just going to pull up on the side over here a window for doing searches. I'm going to move this down. Sorry about that, so that I can still see the chat box. Okay, great. All right, so where are we? So with our beer spas, we don't have anything in the range of a lead. Now, for this one, it's a 300-word article. So any of you guys that I coach have had me harangue you in the past if you had a pitch for a 300-word article that was very long. So a trick that I use, it's just a little kind of web app thing. It's just faster than going into Word or something like that, that I use to check the number of characters that are already in my pitch is this little thing called wordcount.io. So let's see, for instance, how long this pitch that I'm working on is already. Okay. All right. So we've currently got, nope, that's still not my pitch. That's someone else's pitch. Okay. So currently our pitch is at 170 words. And some of these are sort of just little notes that I made in here to myself. And I like to say that your pitch probably shouldn't be more than half the length of the piece that you're going to send. So all right, I'm going to try to figure out how I can pull from what I've said down here out a lead, or if it makes sense to just send this without a lead. So when we talked about this up close section, it's an aspect of a city in detail, could be a particular building trend or food item, written in third person, and often includes quotes from those involved, such as the owner of a building. So let's just make sure, I already mentioned that I'm going to interview some specialists there. So what might make sense as a way to start this? So I talked about how I propose an article for your up close section, because even though beer spas have spread from Iceland to Spain to potentially somewhere else, so let's look at that. Let's look for beer spas in Asia, for instance. The brew obsessed city has the most, and this was something that I wanted to check on, places to experience beer's purported abilities to detoxify skin, cleanse pores, and reduce acne. So maybe what I'll do is I'll take that. Oh, Lindsay had a question on the side that I can actually see. She said, should you include your I'm so great paragraph in the word count with short pitches? I do, because I think about it as like what it looks like on the page to the editor. I want to show them that I'm sending them something short, that I respect the word count. So, because I'm sitting here checking the actual word count on your pitch in order to just give us a numeric benchmark that you guys can use and take home. But really, when people send me pitches to look at and I say this is long or not, it's very much based just in the look. And that's the way that it is for editors as well. So for that reason, I like to think of it as everything that's going to be on the page. Okay, so we've got this 13 incredible beer spas. Beer spa hotels. This is even crazier. There's beer spa hotels, guys. Okay, so there's one in Madison, Wisconsin. But they seem to be not necessarily hotels that specialize in beer spas. So I think this is slightly a lie. Okay, there's a lot of ones in the U.S., which I suppose I shouldn't be too surprised by. We've got some Austria, more U.S., Czech Republic, of course. Yeah, they always seem to be 30 minutes. That's interesting. Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Vale, Czech Republic. I totally wrote beer spas in Asia. I'm not sure why this came up. Okay, so we might not be able to find a beer spa. Oh no, the New York Times did appear some piece on beer spa. That's interesting. And there's a crowd-funded beer hotel. Okay, see, all these other interesting things are coming up. But I don't want to, I'm just going to, what I would do in this case is, like, it's really easy to drop down the rabbit hole of, like, oh, here's some interesting things. Let me start reading them and see if they should change my pitch. But let me just change one thing that hopefully will make these speed up. Okay. But while that might be the case, like from here, I already just saw in the preview that they're only talking about beer spas in Austria, Germany, and Czech Republic. We're already kind of, you know, focusing on the Czech Republic as the place with the most beer spas. I don't really see anything in here that changes what we're talking about, except maybe that they go into more details than we already have, which we might be able to steal for our lead if we write an additional one. But otherwise, I'm just going to pop these over here for future reference. In case I, and this is in Ohio, so that also doesn't help. So I'm just going to pop these over here for future reference in case I do get assigned the piece so that I have them for later research, because I found them with a kind of weird query. And interestingly enough, to the person I was talking about, look, it looks like the New York Times just covered Martinique earlier. So back to our text here. We are looking for a way. I'm going to drop this because I couldn't really find another country. I'm going to add here just to kind of cover our bases. I'm just deciding that I made a note down here. I was trying to decide if I wanted to say Czech Republic or Czechia because the country changed its name. And I'm just going to go with Czechia. The original. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this sentence and we're going to turn this into our lead. And I'm going to explain a little bit here about what beer spas are. So beer spas, a location where bathers can soak in their favorite brew and drink it too. No sense in not using a play on words. The beer spas, a location where bathers can soak in their favorite brew and drink it too, have spread from their original base in Czechia, Germany, and Austria out to locations like Iceland and Spain. I still don't know about this. Have spread from their base in countries with beer heavy cultures. I'll just go with that. Now, I feel like there was a stat that I had somewhere else on how the Czech Republic is the most beer per capita that is going to be important here. We'll wait for that to load. Interesting, the Seychelles is next. Who knew? So beer spas, a location where bathers can soak in their favorite brew and drink it too, have spread from countries with beer-heavy cultures out to places like Iceland and Spain, the Czech Republic, home of the highest beer consumption per capita. Is still home to. Now you'll see that this has kind of gotten long again. And also, I wonder if we still need this thing about the spread. I'm going to make it shorter. I'll just keep it like this for now. Okay. I propose a 300-word article for your up-close section on beer spas in Prague, to explore. Now, I would love both for this and for this other piece we're working on to get some data points on the history of the spa industry in Prague. And I know we had some, rather in the Czech Republic, I know we had some links up on this before, and I probably should have opened them beforehand, but I was trying to give us a really good example of if you came home from a trip and you were just starting from scratch, what would that look like? So 15th century, and then I'll just write oldest spa in the Czech Republic. Because I'm going to write historic, but that's like a lame word, and I'd rather write something better than historic. Okay. Why the historic Czech spa tradition ventured into beer soaks. Okay, so I propose a 300-word article for your up-close section on beer spas in Prague to explore why the historic Czech spa tradition ventured into beer soaks, how to make the most of the experience, and the top places to go in Prague. With interviews with Czech beer spa specialists. I am a New York-based travel journalist who has been working in the field for more than 10 years. My work has appeared in USA Today, Dallas Morning News, and what? I don't know. What food publication? I'm not really sure. I'm writing this pitch too long anyway, so I'm just going to not include a third. I have recently returned from a trip exploring the Czech spa tradition. And how it is modernizing for millennial spa travelers. Would you be interested in Prague Tipsy Spas? Yeah, why not? We'll just leave it. Prague Tipsy or just Sudsy Spas. I think Tipsy Spas is better. Prague Tipsy Spas for up close for Blue Wings. Okay, I think that's as much as we're gonna do on that one. I have a feeling this is probably like 18 or 1900 words now, or 180 or 190 words now. It's probably even longer than before, but I'm just gonna let it go for now. Oh, 150. Look at us. We exactly hit our word count. Probably because I'm using bigger words. Okay, so for Blue Wings, this is for Blue Wings, right? Okay, let's grab ourselves an editor. So we are gonna send this to, there's only a few, so I'm just gonna send it to the editor in chief. So the contact information for this is first name dot last name. So we've got Arja dot Suominen. And then if this gets assigned, the rest of you can fight over who is going to write this because I haven't even been to this place anyway and I don't have time to write this piece. Okay, ready guys? Let's send a pitch. There we go. Okay, I'm just going to open a couple new emails. All right, guys, ready? The first one's going out. Or it's trying to go out. Maybe it's just because my email was frozen. So let's go back to writing pitches and hopefully this will sort itself out. Okay, so let's go back to writing pitches and hopefully that email thing will get sorted. And when something pops up over here, then it means that we're ready to go. All right, so next pitch. Okay, this is on the modernization of the spa tradition. And this one we are pitching in a short form, but it can also run as a feature to a couple different outlets. So we only have up close for one outlet, but if we have time with these other four that we're getting out, let's circle back and see if we can turn this into a new pitch to also run to a different magazine as a longer pitch. Okay, oh, it looks like this is ready. Nope, still going slow. Okay, let's come back. Okay. So for Blue Wings, oh, this is also for Blue Wings. So we wrote this for Inside Track, which takes the form of a roundup in 500 words, written in the third person. The piece describes five to six recommendations in the same country or region. Recent examples include five national parks in America's Southwest, six places to visit in eastern Cuba beyond Havana, and six places to eat in Panji, Goa, including cafes, markets, and restaurants. So nope, that's still stuck. Okay. So here's what we've got, and you'll see again, this is really long. I think the super large font size is also screwing me up, but let's see what we've got here. Once upon a time, I imagine that is meant to be. A visit to the spa began with a consultation with a physician and the receipt of your personal cup. The cup, as it's simply called, is a constant companion of all Czech spa goers as they drink mineral-rich spring water throughout their 3 or more week stay. And then I'm going to say which is filled with a regimented schedule of massages, soaks, and spa treatment. Perhaps sadly, or perhaps fortunately for the packed itinerary traveler of today, daily life at Czech spas now looks very different. I propose a 500-word article for your Inside Track section on how the Czech Republic's 500-year-old spa tradition is changing for the modern experiential traveler. Because with everything from Ayurvedic facilities stocked well, let's say with practitioners, I guess, I mean, what's the people who do the treatments? Therapists, okay, therapists. And aestheticians. Totally can't spell that word. Let's see if my computer can. Aestheticians. There we go. From Kerala, India, to itineraries specifically adapted to modern shorter vacations, the industry is poised for a major awakening, and I'll say, and global attention. In this piece, I will introduce readers to five to six spa locations in the Czech Republic specializing in new takes. On Czech spa, what is happening in my computer here? Czech spa tradition. I'm gonna say new, okay. Oh, I see. Our email is trying to tell us that it's ready to go. I'm just gonna maybe close that and reopen it and see if that helps us. Or not, or it's ready now. Let's see. I really wanted to hit send in front of you guys so you could see that I'm actually sending these, not putting them aside to work on them later, as I know many of you guys do. Otherwise, I wouldn't fret about the fact that my mail isn't working. Okay, we'll let that keep thinking. Okay, so major awakening, global attention. In this piece, I will introduce readers to five to six spa locations in the Czech Republic, specializing. Oh, okay, we're getting rid of this. Just five to six locations specializing in new takes on the Ayurvedic spa tradition, including Hotel Santa Catarina. I need to check that spelling, where the Ayurvedic center will open on date with some and some in the treating place. Okay, so we've got to find some other interesting place. Point of doing this story. Let's just try this. Check spas for millennials. Hey, I can put one of those spas that we saw that specializes in beer, right? Didn't we see an interesting hotel on this list? Okay, well, that's happening. Let's see if we can get the email going again. It's still not happening. Okay, guys, I'm so committed to making you guys see that I'm actually sending these pitches out that I might sign in to my webmail and do it from there. But let's see if we can get this going. All right. So we need to find a second one. We need to find when the Ayurvedic Center is opening. For that, I might just end up checking my notes. I feel like I've written for a spa publication, but I just can't remember off the top of my head. So we're just going to do this again, like we did in the last one. I'm a New York-based travel journalist. I've been working in the field for more than 10 years. My work has been. I recently returned from a trip, including meeting from a trip to Czechia that included a hard hat tour of Sata Kanarina's new Ayurvedic facility, included meetings with Czech spa professionals and a hard hat tour. There's not with some not with some. Let's see. I don't. I. It kind of sounds dirty, so I want to change this a little bit. With some time to take in its new. It's new. Let's see. Some time to sample. It's new massages in the original spa facilities. Okay, well that's not important. Okay, your spa schedule is ready for inside track for Blue Wings. Okay, so our subject line here is pitch your spa schedule is ready for inside track. Okay. Now, let's see, where did we go with our beer spas? Okay, so we saw over here in this Trivago magazine piece, the editor of Trivago magazine spoke at a conference I was at recently. We saw over here in this Trivago magazine piece that there were some examples. Sorry, let me cover that up. That there were some examples here. We've got Hotel Metamorphosis, a historic hotel in Old Town Prague, offering a beer spa with a traditional beer bath. What makes a traditional beer bath is a great question. Let's see, what other Czech examples did they have in here? I thought they had a few. Seeing 1 to 6 matches. It seems like the whole computer just hates us now. All right, let's see what else we've got. Okay, the 5-star Corinthia Hotel offers an old traditional bath service, beer bath. Starts with 30 minutes. So, okay, so let's see this Corinthia Hotel. It seems kind of fancy. Okay, so we've got the Hotel Metamorphosis and the Corinthia Hotel. So, this was my search for Czech spas for millennials, and somehow nothing is coming up in the spa kind of way. Something about wellness business. We can maybe try that one, but I don't know if it's going to come up. So let's try modern. I don't know if that's quite the right keyword. No, I don't think that's going to go for us. This is interesting, though. This is an old LA Times article about spas in the Czech Republic that might give us some of these statistics that I've been looking for about the age of the spa tradition. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Okay, my email has finally resuscitated itself. All right, guys, we're gonna get our first pitch out now. I promise it's happening. Okay. Where did. Here we go. Okay. All right, off we go. Pitch number one is gone. Okay, so back to looking this up. See, I'm getting really caught up in looking things up here and with slow internet. It's interesting because I have a lot of hacks of things that I do that are specifically for dealing with slow internet. How did we end up with these on two places? I'm just getting really confused here. had set up this other New York Times one before as well. All right, so let's see what the LA Times had to say here. All I want is to know how long this has been the case. Anybody? Anybody? I don't see any numbers. I see lots of gallons. Oh, okay, here we go. The prompt of the creation of the first permanent spa settlement of Karlovy Vary in 1350. Okay, so that means we are looking at more of like a 650 plus year old spa history. All right, okay. More than 650 year old spa tradition. Oh no, okay, we'll fix that in a second. Okay, I propose a 500 word article for your inside track on, okay, we still need to check the Santa Catarina, that is the right spelling. And then we're looking for one more thing to include, and I might just go with one of these hotels if we can't get anything else. Okay, so they call it Svata Katarina. Okay, I knew I had something wrong. Svata and then Katarina. Right, okay. Let's make sure I've got that right. I mentioned it twice, I think. Here it is. Svata Katarina's new Ayurvedic facility. Okay, so when is their Ayurvedic facility opening? Yes, I can see that a lot of web pages are slowing down. Okay, check ya. Ayurveda. Maybe it's already open. All right, so what about, we still can't get anything. Okay, so let's try this hotel metamorphosis. I really just want to find out about their spa. Okay, that one's almost done. So let's start looking at this next one then. So this other one, which is for Be Inspired Off the Beaten Path, is a first person article about a destination that's a 1 to 3 hour drive from a major city. About 500 words, the writer recounts their experience there, covering what they did and saw. This could cover the trip as a whole or focus on one particular activity or restaurant, for example. Quotes are included from locals. Examples include lazing on a sunny sand dune, about the writer's experience out adventure sports in the Bay of Arcachon, France, Little Wonder, covering the inn, a Michelin-starred restaurant, 90 minutes from D.C., and urban legend about the writer's experience visiting the city of Nashville, 3 hours from Mumbai. Okay, so what we've got here is I don't have anything yet in the lead. I wanted to go back to my notes and rely heavily on the description here. What we've already got is I propose a 500-word article for your off-the-beaten-track section on UNESCO-rich Telchintra Beach because these 13th and 14th century cities, I should say towns or cities. I'll say towns. I don't know. I'll say cities. Fine. Cities not only offer picture-perfect small-town European charm, which is the kind of thing I tell you guys never to say, but sometimes we can get away with saying these more, you know, trite shorthand things in this because sentence. Not only offer picture-perfect small-town European charm, but also include impeccably preserved architectural gems that offer a, I don't want to say unique, but I might have to, view, I'm going to say lens, or view into the lives of our medieval and Renaissance ancestors of all faiths. In this trip, in this piece, I will cover my recent trip through the area, highlighting the interesting things and name of place, and the name of the square in Telch, and the something that make Trebeach, has this one a small, the school town award, anything else. I will include quotes from who did I meet in these places. Okay, so let's go back to the itinerary. Well, I feel like the itinerary might be harder to get actually than to look up some of these things. Okay, so there's a lot of things here that we want to look up. So let's go back and start. I'm going to open my crazy email again. Let's look at the notes here from the Czech Republic trips and find the notes for Trebeach. Okay, so for Trebeach, there's only one portal like this. It's correct, Ronestor Monastery. Okay, so the construction of the church began in 1230. What do we really want to say about this place in Trebeach? Okay, well, that's going. Let's see if we got some information on the spas on these places. Okay, hotel spa. Spa experience. That's what we want to know. Great. Okay, now, so over here we're looking for a bunch of things. What can we do about the castle in Telch? That would probably be the chateau here, okay? So this place was just crazy. It was, maybe I should just find some pictures. It's called the castle. We'll see. Right, so Corinthia, just to go back to our spa thing that we were talking about. I don't know that they necessarily have anything special here past the beer spa, so I think we're just gonna let it go for now because otherwise we could fall down the rabbit hole of all of the different hotel spas in all of the Czech Republic and trying to then decide which one is cooler than which other one. So let's go with this one. Okay, so we're gonna say to finish this one up, I think this was the really pretty much the last thing we were waiting on. Oh, and the date that the Ayurvedic facilities were opening. Let's see if that's come up in Google as well. Looks like you can book it. Okay, I'll just check my notes, but it seems like it might be already open now. Okay, so we'll say, and okay, 5 to 6 locations specializing in new takes on the Czech spa tradition, including Hotel Santa Catarina, where the Ayurvedic Center will open on blah, and Prague's, is it called? Hotel Metamorphosis, ho no, Hotel Metamorphosis, no phosis, okay, Hotel Metamorphosis, Hotel Metamorphosis, which focuses its spa entirely on beer soaks with unpasteurized Bernard beer. Okay, and then let's just quickly pop in here and see if we can get the Santa Catarina. Okay, they said it'll be the only one in the Czech Republic. I just saw something, hold on, about Christmas. Okay, yeah, so they were doing it over the holidays. Okay. Which, where the Ayurvedic Center, where the only Ayurvedic pavilion in Czech Republic, in Czechia rather, in Czechia opened this winter. Okay, in this piece, I'll introduce readers. Okay, now again, I feel like this is probably too long, but it's clearly hard for me to tell because this font is so incredibly big. So let's look over here. To 76. It's longer than I'd like, but it's not the end of the world. We're doing this very fast. So let's just look very quickly and see. If we can, we talked about also doing this as a feature for Wizz, Norwegian, EasyJet, and Lufthansa. Let me see if I can pull, that wouldn't be in this. Okay, so let's see if we can pull the descriptions of what it would need to be for those different things. Okay, so that would be in the matches. Okay, so for Wizz, Wiz Lufthansa. Let's look for Lufthansa. I think this is maybe the first one because I don't see any Lufthansa in here. Wiz, Tribes, Innovator. Hold to feature fetch. Okay. There are four features which run 1,200 words. They cover destinations, focusing on trends, food, people, and things to do. Include quotes from at least three different sources. The style is journalistic. Here's how I'm going to swap that out for a whiz piece. Okay, style is journalistic and straightforward. At least three different sources. Okay, so I've got two that I can think of off the top of my head. Okay, da-da-da-da. I propose a 1200 word feature on how the Czech Republic's more than 650-year-old spa tradition is changing for the modern experiential traveler, because with everything from Ayurvedic facilities stocked with massage therapists and estheticians from Kerala, India, to itineraries specifically adapted to modern certifications, the industry is posed for a major awakening in global attention. In this piece, I will feature insights of. Who do I want to say I'm going to interview on this trend and its future from the force behind Hotel Sveta Katarina's new Ayurvedic pavilion? Oh, keep writing Czech Republic, sorry guys, in Czechia. And energy, this isn't the thing I haven't mentioned here, but energy landscaped rock formation echoing Stonehenge. Energy landscaped rock formation for AM. Yoga sessions. Okay, I will feature insights on this trend and its future from, I will say, sort of like spa professionals in Karlovy Vary. I'm going to spell this wrong. Karlovy Vary. How is it spelled? I know we had that before. In the LA Times piece. Right, Karlovy. Okay. Karlovy Vary, where the first permanent spa was erected in. Around 1350, and okay, great. Oh gosh, I hope I cut and pasted that. Okay, good, I did. Okay, so this is the Wiz version. Great. Okay, so that's the Wiz version. What's next? We said we could send this to a couple different places. We said Wiz, Norwegian, EasyJet. Okay, what about Norwegian? Okay, Norwegian. There are five uncategorized features. Which cover destinations, trends, and interesting people in about 1500 words. Articles can be written in the first person using a narrative style or third person describing a destination or trend. Quotes are often included from relevant people, and sometimes one or two short sidebars featuring profiles of relevant people can be found. These profiles cover who the person is and their thoughts on the topic being covered. Da, 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 da. Okay, great. I think we can just send exactly the same thing, and then I'll just kind of throw out there that he would be an interesting profile. The landscape architect. There we go. All right. So now, see, I did very few changes. That's ready for Norwegian. We also talked about EasyJet features. Okay, features, destinations served by EasyJet. I'll have to check my other notes page on if this works or not. Destinations served by EasyJet. They can be written as first-person narrative where the writer shares an element of their trip, or third-person piece covering people or topics. Profiles can sometimes be seen. Okay, the other City of Light covering changes in Pula Croatia, including light shows, virtuality projects. Along winding paths between zigzag cliffs through Andalusian olive groves, covering the Camino Mozarab pilgrimage hike in Spain. Okay, so for this EasyJet one, I think that what we can do is we can make it be an amalgam of these two things, where we're talking about the modernization, so we'll pull the modernization text, but then we will make it be specifically on Prague. And let me check in my other file. So we were just looking at idea matches, so this must be initial notes. Idea fit. There we go. Okay, EasyJet flies to Prague. Okay, so then what we'll do is we will sort of make an amalgam of this so that we've got some from the beer spas and some about the spa tradition. So I'm going to propose a, let's say, 800 word feature. I want to say feature section. Let's fix those other ones. Feature on. Here we are. How the Czech Republic's more than 650-year-old spa tradition is changing for the modern experiential traveler. And then we're going to make it be about beer. Okay. Let's go back up to our beer story. And let's pull this down. Okay. Da, 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 da. Particularly with the introduction of, okay, gonna amalgamate these two things together. Rather with itinerary specifically adapted to modern shorter vacations and the introduction of beer spas. Locations where bathers can soak in their favorite brew and have it too. Okay. Do I want to talk about beer's purported abilities? Locations where bathers can soak in their favorite brew and drink it too. Magnifying beer's purported ability to detoxify skin, cleanse pores, and reduce acne. Okay, great. So in their feature, they're going to want to see sometimes quotes, but probably service information. Okay. In the piece, I will offer tips from local experts on to make the most of the experience, the top places to go in Prague for different types of travelers, and what? Let's see. I don't have enough notes on having looked at this. I'll go with this. And what else is coming down pipeline to shake up the Czech spa culture next? All right. Now I'm going to have to change this line at the end of this one, and I'm going to have to take back my line that I had from the first one. Okay, so there's from that one pitch that we wrote, which was originally a feature pitch, but I've just sent one pitch to that outlet already. So I'm going to hold on to this as my backup pitch for the outlet. So instead, I'm going to send these things to Wiz. So let's get, we've queued up here Wiz and Norwegian and EasyJet. And I'll get these ones out the door. If my, oh no, my email's crashed again. You guys, I'm really trying to send these for you. Okay, so we've got those queued up. Now, can we make some finishing on this? Okay, there's like a lot of things that this is missing for. So let's just see if in 2 minutes we can finish this guy up. Oh no, because my notes are in my email. Shoot. Okay, what's the fourth one? This one also needs something from my email. Okay, let's see if my email will come back to life. In the meantime, let's pull the contact info. So again, this is a really small one here for EasyJet. So for features, I'm going to assume that the person doing the feature is going to be the editor editor. Okay, now for Norwegian, we've got a small-ish staff, but they don't assign a lot of stuff to freelancers. So I'm still going to assume that the person doing the features is going to be the editor editor. So we'll drop her in here. Okay, next for Wiz. Super small, one person. Okay, so it's definitely going to go to her. Okay. Now you notice all of these editors work at Ink Global, but you don't see any crossover between the editors on different publications. So I wouldn't assume at all that they share. In some situations, like AAA, they do in fact share content, so that might be a thing, but it's not going to be the case here. Okay, so let's get this guy out. Okay, we've got the same subject line for all of them, but they're all for different sections. Actually, maybe I'll just do this. Okay. No, we already did Wiz, right? Okay, this one. Here's Sarah. Just gonna drop my signature in at the end. Okay, this one for. Oh, thank God I noticed this. Okay, we gotta change the last sentence here. So this is Norwegian. And by Norwegian. Now, is there anything else? No, I say 1200 word feature. Okay. I don't think there's anything else in here that's about Blue Wings. Okay, great. So that one is out. Okay, so let's pop my signature in these and we'll drop in the other ones. Okay, so this next one is going to be for Wiz. All right, and then our last one of these three is for EasyJet. How on earth do they actually? I know they capitalize some things weirdly. Okay, so it is EasyJet Traveler. All right, off we go. Okay, those are out the door. All right, guys. So what I've got left on here, like I said, are things that we got to pull out of my notes. So let's see if we can get this to load this time. Otherwise, okay, great. Nine was restored at 90 million Czech crowns. So, what is 90 million Czech crowns? Okay, so this is the Telge Castle. All right, so was trying to get some pictures of it for us before so that we can. I have some on my phone, of course, but I'll just be faster this way. And obviously, UNESCO is also going to tell us why it is preserved. So what are we looking for here? So we need something in the lead. We're proposing this article for Off the Beaten Path because they're beautiful and they offer a unique view into the lives of our medieval and Renaissance ancestors of all faiths. I feel like I have to qualify that. So okay, so this is about the castle. Let's see if we can just get like a quick. Okay, so here we've got in Trebíč. We have this really famous basilica, and then we also have the Jewish synagogue, and I think that was talked about over here. Okay, so Trebíč. Okay, so highlighting the Jewish quarter and basilica. How old is the basilica? The Jewish historic Jewish quarter. Around the, what is the basilica called? Saint Basilica. I'll cover my recent trip to the area, highlighting Trebíč's. Historic Jewish quarter around the Basilica of Saint Procopius on a site dating back to a 12th century monastery. The where's the name of the castle? Okay, this is Trebíč. Where's Telge? There's Telge. The Telge Chateau. Okay, how old is the Telge Chateau? I really wish that the UNESCO would load. There we go. Okay. Okay, they're saying it's a Renaissance castle. And Telge's town square, one of the largest in the country, and home to dozens of historically preserved facades and what do you call tunnel systems? Not quite the word I'm looking for. They call it like the underground city. And then Trebíč's historic da, 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 and the Renaissance castle and town square. Telge's Renaissance castle. I wish I could say something about the castle. Let's see if there's something quick I can get from my notes. I guess we'll do a description of it. Let's go back to those photos. Okay, so the thing about this castle is that you enter the courtyard of Telge's castle. There is no question, an incredibly moneyed person. Once lived here. High walls immediately deafen. Doesn't seem like the right place to say that. Okay. Deafen the sounds of the bustling square, one of the country's largest. And I don't need to say that down here. One of the country's largest. And the manicured lawn looks fit for an impromptu game of croquet or whatever Renaissance nobles fancied. Entering the castle, the richness of its original inhabitants. I'm doing a tell not show thing here. Okay. Entering the castle. Upon entering the castle, the pervasive use of gold leaf to accent deep blue mineral, let's see, deep blue walls to create favorite constellations. And the, let's say, square footage dedicated to trophies of hunting trophies from faraway lands confirm that this castle was designed to impress. Okay, when you enter the courtyard of Telch's castle, there's no question an incredibly moneyed person once lived here. Or maybe I should say designed it. No, I think that's fine. The high walls immediately deafen the sound of the bustling square, one of the country's largest, and the manicured lawns fit for an impromptu game of croquet or whatever Renaissance nobles fancied. Upon entering the castle, the pervasive use of gold leaf to accentuate, to accent deep blue walls and create favorite constellations, coupled with the sheer square wall, square footage of wall space dedicated to hunting trophies from faraway lands, confirms, and this confirms that this castle was designed to impress. I propose a 500-word article for your off the beaten path section on UNESCO treasure-rich Telch Beach, because these 13th and 14th cities not only offer picture-perfect small-town European charm, but also include impeccably preserved architectural gems that offer a unique view into the lives of our medieval and Renaissance ancestors of all faiths. In this piece, I will cover my recent trip through the area, highlighting da 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 da. I will include quotes from local historians who accompanied my trip. Let's see, I'm going to make this a little shorter. Whose work has appeared here and here. I have recently returned from a trip through Telchinta Beach. Where I was fortunate to be guided by enthusiastic young historians, passionate about taking the torch of their city's history brightly into the future. And I will share their insights quotes from them in the piece. Now, there's all sorts of stuff that happened. Like, there were some really beautiful stories that they told us about. I'm never quite sure which is the British and which is the American way to say gems. There's all these beautiful stories they told us about people finding their ancestry and all these things. And the thing is, like, I could go look those up and I could massage this, you know, into some perfect thing about, you know, like recreating somebody's story. And I could bicker around with how I want to, you know, make that fit into the number of words that I have. But the thing is, like, well, I could absolutely do that. We're trying to get pitches out the door, right? So I'm taking what I can pull out of my notes and what I can pull off the internet and put together a pitch that is capable of leaving my inbox in a reasonable amount of time. Because the time that you spend going back through your notes and pulling those things together and really putting together something beautiful is that's the kind of time that you should be spending when you already have an assignment. You know what I mean? Like, to really rake through everything that you've done and give yourself that time travel, really. Like, you're not just investing the time in writing it, but you're also investing time into kind of pulling up those memories, which you can't really pull up forever. You know what I mean? Like, you, every time I think you pull up memories from a trip, you're going to be losing a little bit of something that you had when you were there. So you're taking the time to pull those up just for this one story, and really not even just for this one story, but just for this pitch for this one story. And then what are you going to do when you go back to write the piece? You've already, you know, relived those. You've already lost some of that moment. So in this case, I leaned on focusing more on something that was descriptive because it was easier, because it's a pitch. You're not being paid to write this pitch, right? So this is the time when, like I said, is kind of the operating principle of this entire, you know, enterprise of doing this series that we're just wrapping up here. You want to do what you can do with some speed. You don't want to be, you know, putting your heart and soul on the line into these pitches, because then when you don't hear back, which you often don't, you're going to be bummed, right? So do these pitches in a way where you take what you have, you take what you can get your hands on, you put it together, and then, like we're about to do with this last pitch, you let it go, all right? It's gone. So how many pitches did we send today, guys? We sent one beer, what do you call it? We sent one beer spa. This one is the backup for the first beer spa pitch, right? We sent then to Wizz, we sent to Norwegian, we sent to EasyJet, and then I just got that Be Inspired off, right? Oh no, I'm going to check on that. Okay, so we got five pitches out today in a bit more than an hour. I know we went longer than we said we were going to do. Have a great rest of your week, guys, and a great weekend.